Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about those things that are in our food, in our makeup, in our soaps, in all of the products that we buy at the grocery store, online, and all of these things that we are engaging and putting into our body, on our body, and using to clean it. Wow, everybody says we live in such a toxic world. It's what we breathe, it's what we eat, we drink. We seem to just be immersed in all kinds of toxins. Well, that definitely is true. There is almost so many toxins out there, more than maybe the cells in our bodies these days. It seems like there's just so much out there. And how can you really live a healthy, safe life and know that your health concerns, how do they integrate, or how are they engaging, or how are they creating your problems with these toxins? We don't even know that these days. We say, oh, but I'm doing a detox. It's all good. You know, I drink green drink Monday through Friday. They go out on Saturday and Sunday, eat what you want, drink what you want, do what you want, and then you wonder why on Monday you feel like you can almost not even barely walk. Maybe it's because you've been doing some good things for your body, keeping away some of the things that maybe could be a trigger for you, for maybe some of your aches and pains. And when you go out and you engage in them, it's like, oh, you just hit a wall and you just don't know what to do. Today, my guest is Dr. Marcella Papa, and her book is Keep Away from Gras, generally recognized as safe. And let me tell you, there's so many things out there that people will say on the internet, oh, that's no big deal. It's in my natural product. See? It's no big deal. It's called natural. It's organic. It's this. It's that. Well, a lot of times there's things in there that we don't even realize, and they might be a trigger. Dr. Marcella, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Dr. Marcella, don't you think that sometimes we feel like we're just bombarded with toxins all over the place, and it's like, do we throw up our hands or do we try to do something about it, right?
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You know, Dr. Marcella, you wrote the book because you had really investigated it, and being a doctor, you know, myself too, it's like we always become our own worst patients sometimes because we have things that we seem to get, and wow, it's not like a textbook case, and we're just trying to figure it out ourselves, yes?
Yes, I also agree with that. In my situation, my conditions were, I'm talking about the autoimmune arthritis, which actually triggered my literature research, are somehow different than for people who are not doctors, or maybe they're perceived that way. Definitely my autoimmune arthritis is one of those conditions that does not respond properly to medications, or I get unusual side effects, extremely rare ones, but serious. And it somehow, in this context, that it doesn't come as a big surprise that my noticing some unusual correlations, it's something that triggered my attention. And the funniest thing is that that got everything started was that my elbows were getting swollen after applying a moisturizer cream to those to the areas. And, of course, initially I dismissed the idea. It sounded so far-fetched. Right. I said, it's impossible. It's a coincidence. But there was a pattern to it, and I started to pay more attention, and it happened with other moisturizers. It happened with prescription creams, and not just for my hands, but for my other joints. So this is how it got me started.
You know, I think there's a lot of times when we have an issue and we go to the physician and we say, I don't know what's up, you know. Let's use your example, you know, my elbows are really bothering me. And they don't even think to ask you what you're putting on. They'll say, oh, it's probably just this, let's run a test. So we can, when we get a test, we get a number, we get a drug, we get a treatment and a therapy, and we're done with it. Slap a name on that thing, you know. And even myself being a naturopath, people would come to us and they would say, okay, I kind of know that that regime might not work, so maybe you've got a different regime. And it's very similar. We would do some tests. We would explore maybe some other things. But it's really all about the patient themselves putting the pieces of the puzzle together, don't you think?
Yes, it is true. And so many things are probably not disclosed by the patients to us because they don't really think that that's relevant. And
right.
On the other hand, so many of the synthetic chemicals that I noticed were bothering me are considered inert, inactive, safe. So people don't really, doctors don't really look at these ingredients, probably with the exception of an allergic reaction. If they have a suspicion that certain component may have triggered an allergic reaction, then they would tell you to avoid that product altogether or stay away from that medicine altogether and measures like this. But nobody really takes into account all of this components from the inactive ingredients list.
That's absolutely true. You know, I know for myself, I live in the South, and I love to go into the pool in the summer. And I would go in, and there was one summer I was going like every single day for like 2 or 3 months. And then the next summer, it was like I went in the pool just once, and I said, oh, something's wrong. Something's different. What's going on here? And we had a different pool person, and he said, oh, the water looks so shiny. It just glistens. I just love it, don't you? And I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe I'll just get out, and then I'll go back another day and try it another day. And I had the worst headache so bad. And what it was is that he was putting bromide in the water, and it was such a high level of bromine that it was just off-gassing like crazy all the time, and it just wasn't good. And, you know, he says, but that's the stuff that makes the water look so nice and clear. And you think, well, gosh, you know, it's just regular swimming pool. Why would people not think that? So I'm sure for yourself, you know, with the cream on your arms, it's like, but it's a cream for your arms, and that's why they sell it, right? You know, and it's, in other words, we seem to be such an outlier, but really those outliers are the ones that are the most difficult cases. However, if you're the outlier, it's your case. You're not an exception, you're the case, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And
yeah,
so many of these things.
Tough place to be.
Yeah, and many of these products that contain the synthetic chemicals, just like you noticed with the bromide in the pool, it's not really meant to do anything better. It's just supposed to make things look better. So,
right.
I think a part of the reason why some of this, like emulsifiers, are used in the food is that when you open the container, it looks more appealing.
Right.
Some other ingredients are used to prolong the shelf life. So they're all with a purpose, but that purpose doesn't necessarily mean it's a healthy one.
Yeah, you know, I had gotten a sample the other day of a spray. They say to spray your foods to take off toxins. Well, of course, I'm very alert type. And I said, this smells like Clorox. I don't know where the Clorox is in here, but this smells like chlorine bleach. And I could not find it anywhere on the label. But when they put and other, you know that there's something else in there, you know? And I think that's really about having your intuition and say, okay, let's maybe take a week or two and write things down and say, is there a correlation here to, you know, did I have coffee at that certain shop like every single day and maybe there was something in the beans and how they were processed or whatever. Or maybe, you know, as you said, I got a sample size of some new cosmetics or something, and I used it when I went on my vacation and kind of didn't notice much that it bothered my face. My face is fine, but, man, I just had a raging headache like every day. Or, man, I just, my hands were just bothering me or whatever. I think sometimes what happens is that when we have these toxins in our body, they don't they may end up having a, like where you apply them will be the reaction. However, sometimes you can have a distant reaction, yes?
Absolutely. And that's the trick about them. They don't trigger necessarily a reaction right away, so you could pinpoint, oh, that product did this type of reaction to me. Most of the reactions are something that happened way past the time the products were used, or this constant daily exposure of our body to the synthetic chemicals that we cannot properly process and eliminate causes some health problems in the long run. And I'm an example of that, and I'm sure other people probably experience similar situations. It's just that they don't know what to blame it on. And that was why I decided to write this book.
Also, let's talk about the idea of the, I call it like the thing that just like puts you over the edge. There's a lot of times we have a lot of triggers over our ages. I'm in my 60s, and things that didn't bother me in my 20s and 30s, I might have used every single day. Hit your 40s and 50s, and you're going, ugh, whatever. And then your 60s, it's like you can't go near it. So there is an accumulation effect, you know, these triggers. It's just sometimes you might not have paid attention to them, but also sometimes, too, in your body and in your fat cells and your tissues, you're just hitting a point where you were on just a max overload, and now it's really rearing its head, right?
Yes, and the other effect that may happen, they may manifest in ways that are difficult to associate with a certain product or with a certain situation. And that makes it very difficult for people to realize what the correlation may be. And that's terrible, but that's what usually happens. And most of the time it's blamed on something else or it's ignored for a long time until some sort of illness comes to the surface. And then again, most of the illnesses have a certain way of the doctors could explain why that happened. But for many of them, there is still no valid explanation or triggering factor that could be pointed out and eliminated in the future or for other people.
You know, it's funny, a lot of people say in our, about our professions is that you, we want to get to the root cause of it. And I say, well, you know, I never knew a tree only had one root. You know, and I think that that was definitely something to reflect on in saying there are many causes, there are many different contributing factors. And even though you turn around and you're treating the root cause or you're curing a disease, where you're turning around and you're fixing something that you think might be broken, there's still a predisposition there to say that where did it come from in the first place? Let's use a root of a tree that ends up and you say, well, you know, there was sunlight, there was soil, there was nourishment, there was something that was contributing to its growth. And how is it even getting there? When we think of taking a lot of these toxins and saying, oh, maybe this product isn't good for me, and you turn around, you substitute it with another product, and you say, well, you know, maybe they're a similar chemical composition. Maybe there's one that's very similar in the way it affects in my body, and maybe I didn't even get out all of the backup that's in my body. So really, just putting another one on top of it isn't the answer either also, right?
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes the medications, for instance, that are used to treat a certain condition, they end up triggering a different one. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
I'll tell you, it's tough because everybody wants to detox, but they forget there's so many different ways to detox, you know. It's not just your green drink at the store, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. If I were, if I had a saying in this, I would definitely start with some other items at the store.
Right, right. So, Dr. Marcelli, can you tell us what is your number one thing that you were just shocked about and you went, I would have never thought that would have been a contributing factor. What chemical was it?
It narrowed down to two types of chemicals. One, they were bothering my arthritis, my joints, and worsening my arthritis symptoms, were derivative of a component called ethylene oxide. which is a known carcinogen and is classified as a carcinogen. In the chemical process that starts to synthesize other molecules from this parent component, there is still some ethylene oxide that is a remnant in the final product, in the polymerized product. Most of the time, I mean, this ethylene oxide does not appear on the label, but you see the derivatives of it, which are with names like polyethylene glycols or poloxamer or polysorbate, phenoxyethanol or ethanolamines. These are all derivatives that come from chemical reactions that involve this ethylene oxide. The second class of chemicals which were affecting my migraines and I presume contributed to a certain extent to my to the breast abnormalities that I had year after year for many years in a row are estrogen mimicking chemicals, which are again in cosmetics, in household products, and in certain foods, and believe it or not, even in some medications. All of these are generally recognized as safe, so they are included. And when I eliminated thinking that the estrogens may have something to do with my abnormal breast testing, I realized that it may not help, but it can't hurt. And to my pleasant surprise, for years after I completed this elimination process, I had normal testing, whereas before that it was year after year with additional testing and biopsies and a lot of aggravation. And in less than 2 months, I noticed an improvement of the migraine headaches, both in severity and frequency. So that was somehow well worth it for me.
You know, I've lived with migraines my entire life, but I've also was a dental hygienist for 35 years, and ethylene oxide is very high in the dental office because it's what they use to sterilize a lot of their instruments. And, you know, even when I was in open-heart surgery for several years, again, the same thing. The gas is very prevalent, and you wonder why you have such a headache when you leave the office, you know. And you think about it, and they're like, oh, it's nothing. It's a common. It's what we're doing. It's why is everybody else fine and you're not? And I think to understand that when you're not, it's not about just trying to fix you. It's trying to find out what's contributing to it for you, you know, because maybe that's not a great job. Maybe that's not a great profession. That's why I left it. But, and it was just all around, it just doesn't feel right. And you're like, I need to look at something else here and to be able to wake up to that fact. I think a lot of times people say, oh, there's no way it can't be that. Everybody else is okay, right?
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Speaking of ethylene oxide, I just that's one of the studies that triggered my attention about this being a culprit in my joints. I found a medical study that they when they used knee construction surgery in tendon construction, if they used the grafts sterilized with ethylene oxide, in 6.5% of the patients, which is quite significant, the graft triggered such an inflammatory reaction in the knee that it had to be removed and the symptoms cleared after the graft was removed. In 6.5% of the patients, that's very significant. The other thing about ethylene oxide used in sterilizing certain medical equipment is that the nurses involved in this process developed neurological changes or memory changes. So this is not something we could joke about. It's something that it will affect a significant proportion of people. Again, it doesn't have to affect each and everybody, but 6%, 10%, that's very significant.
Yeah, you know, it's always a percentage number when it's someone else, but when it's yours, it's 100%, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it's yours, and I think
that's,
yeah, and I think it's really important to stand up and say, you know what, it's a great job, and it doesn't bother you, but it bothers me, period. And I think that's very difficult for a lot of people to be able to come to that recognition. I think... And so many times people look at things online, you know, they look at the Environmental Working Group, they look at the FDA, the CDC, they look at all of those other government agencies, they say, I'm going to look up this and then I'm going to cross-reference it to that and I'm going to find something over there. And, you know, they're trying to justify their path. However, maybe they just have to find out by elimination of certain items. You know, and really elimination of certain items is really the beginning, because there's things that are not even marked on containers or products you buy, or let's say even use something simple. Oh, hey, I don't want to have any oils in my life, but I'm going to go to a restaurant to eat dinner. And it's like, really? You just got oils. What are you not talking about? You know, so I think the idea that the unknown is stronger than the known factor, don't you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I have seen and actually many patients who have and many people who have this habit to use the cooking oil in a spray form, which obviously brings less oil than if you pour it from a bottle. But one of the things that I think that happened, that those cans are lined up with resin, with a resin that's made of bisphenol A, which is a estrogen-mimicking chemical, which is found in numerous other products. So you think that you would use less oil, but then you end up exposing yourself to bisphenol A, which is an estrogen-mimicking chemical, which lately has been associated with hypertension in some medical articles, with obesity in others. So it's not as safe as it sounds, even if you only use a little bit, you know, in the oil. But the other problem is that it's present in many other products, canned foods, canned drinks, even the store receipts contain some of that.
You know, now that in the year 2018, we've really looked at things that are beginning to be endocrine disruptors, or they're turning out to be products that we don't want to be around. There's the list of carcinogenic additives is really beginning to get out there and get published, and people are starting to be aware of it. However, they say, this is my real everyday life. I don't know how to live any differently. You know, I know for myself, now being in my 60s, the healthiest time I've ever lived in my life has been when I lived in northeastern Pennsylvania, because I ate from the farmer's market. I was outside all the time. I really didn't have any other products, and I wasn't doing a job that was in an area that was really giving me a lot of the toxic, you know, problems. However, I went back to that area, and then I did when I was doing the dental, and I was going, oh, crap, you know, why am I sick all the time with these headaches? Didn't put it two to two together, and then I eventually figured it out. However, other states I have lived in, like I live in New Orleans now, it's probably the most toxic place in the entire world. Why am I sick all the time? Why is my joints hurting? Why am I a little bit overweight? Why does my hair feel like it's just not feeling great? All of these things are things that are contributing about what's in the air, what's in the ground, you know? I mean, they have farmers markets here, and this is a story that I think is important to point out. the farmers markets, and I went up and they had great big heads of broccoli. I mean, like you need two arms to carry them. Farmer was so proud of his product and everything. And I asked him, I says, where's your farm? He pointed and it was like about a mile from where he was. And I said, oh, that's cool. And I didn't say anything and I didn't purchase it because he was only a mile from the Monsanto plant. Okay. So you know what I mean? We think about things,
yes.
Except we don't put two and two together. You know, so what was happening was he was getting these really super concentrated stuff, and it was like, no way, no how would you want to do that? So I think the idea is that when you see the word natural, you see the word organic, and you see the word farm grown, or you see the word farmer's market, you really need to do a whole lot more research and say, what's around it? Where is it coming from? What's actually in there? And did they just change the name of the game to be able to sell product? Don't you think you've seen that too?
I do. I think that if you see the USDA seal for the organic product, I think that's somehow safe. But if you see made with organic ingredients or made with natural ingredients, that leaves out a lot of information about additional substances which are incorporated in the product, but they're not really taken into account by the consumer. And if you try to read them on the ingredients list, it's something that's very hard to figure out what it means. They have this complicated name sometimes that are even hard to pronounce.
And also, too, the idea when it says organic, that does not mean non-GMO, you know? I've gotten lettuce where it says it's organic, USDA organic, and you put it in the refrigerator, it could be there for 6 months. And it'll look the same as the day you bought it. And you say, what is wrong with this picture? You know?
That doesn't sound like a healthy product.
Right. And I think the idea, too, with our cosmetics, when they turn around and they say, you know, I'm thinking of a toothpaste right now, and they say, oh, it will take care of everything that's going on. It'll take care of your swollen gums. It'll bleach your teeth. It'll take care of the plaque. And you'll have the best smile ever. And I'm thinking, okay, so you've given me three products I know that's in there that don't want to be in there. So what else is in there, right?
That's right. That's right. That's why I get to read all kinds of labels, search out the ingredients, try to see which ones I want, which ones I could use eventually. That's a bit of a process, but if you're motivated, it could get done.
Yeah, and I think the idea too is people said, do I have to learn to live with less? Well, eventually you learn that less is better because it just doesn't. It's sort of like, yeah, you just don't want it, you know. It's sort of like the idea when you begin to eat healthy, you start to go around the outside of the grocery store instead of in the middle. Well, when you know, I've said to my husband the other day, I says, I can't tell you the last time I've been in a drugstore for something. Do you know what I mean? Probably years. I just, you know how people will go and they'll get makeups or shampoos or first aid products or whatever and all that other stuff, you know? And I'm thinking I don't really go there for any of that. And I think what happens is you eventually realize that it just doesn't show up for you. Don't you think? I don't think you miss any of those products that you've had to leave out. And it's sort of like...
No, absolutely not.
Right, and then you almost decide, absolutely. You know what, I don't need that type product in the first place. And then even, in other words, whatever symptom you were using the product for, some of them, when those symptoms go away, it's like, well, it doesn't even show up anymore, right?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I'm very grateful that other people who thought about these chemicals being detrimental for our health have created small companies and developed healthy products. So the good news is that there are healthier replacements in almost every product category. And I don't miss the old products. And even some friends of mine that actually are not even sick, but I advise them to maybe replace them. They love the new products. They're mm-hmm. so happy with the new shampoos and the creams and the other suggestions I had that they don't want to go back to the old ones.
Right. Yeah, it's like almost you become like a radar then, because almost you could take one of those old products you used to use and you could say, wow, I can smell the chemical in there now. You know what I mean? In other words, you get to be such a trained eye, like when I opened up the vegetable wash and I says, there's some sort of chlorine in here. I just know it, you know? So I think we get kind of trained to notice things that are off and we tend to drift away from those, right?
Yes, and actually a lot of people have reported to me, not just patients but friends as well, that when they go shopping for laundry products, let's say, they get a headache or they start coughing and they spend a little too much time on that aisle, and that's the reason for that. Those products are not meant to be inhaled, and they are being inhaled, and they get into our body, and they trigger some sort of reaction, whether you acknowledge it or not. That's something that's, you know, up to everybody to pay a little attention, I guess. But I noticed even before I was aware of all the synthetic chemicals, the names and their structure and how they behave once they reach our body, that those aisles were something that I didn't want to spend time in there. Just go get the product and get out of here.
Right.
And I would have to confess that one of the things that I miss a little bit are the perfumes, but knowing that they have about 3,000 ingredients, which are not even disclosed because they're trade secret ingredients, I don't really want to use them at all. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and it almost gets to the point that when you do smell a fragrance, you're going, what is that smell? And you identify it. It's almost when you smell something, when you put fresh flowers on your table, you'll notice that better fragrance and you'll notice the contrast, you know? I can remember my son, he worked one summer at one of these lawn places, and he says, oh, I just have to put up all the mulch, you know, and he would be so sick from that. And then like he worked there for 3 months in the summer, and then for like 6 to 9 months later, he was just sick as all get out and couldn't realize he was detoxing all that chemical, you know. And I think that's also too to understand, is that when you jump from one product to another, give yourself a time or a period to be able to get that old product out of your system. Yes.
Yes, and the other thing that it's important is that to try to use the safest product available, because many of these overlap in numerous products, and just replacing one with another one that may have similar ingredients, it's not going to help out as much as we hope.
Yeah, it sure does make a big difference. Let's also talk for a second. Not only are there toxins in the creams and the cosmetics and some of the foods that we have, but it's also in our environment. It's like in our rugs and our detergents, you know. And just the other day, I mean, for some reason, I don't know why, I picked up your book and I was reading it. And I know that my detergent is baking soda based, but I washed my sheets and stuff, and everything was all washed, and I got up with the worst headache. I mean, it was like, this is just too much. And I said, oh, I wonder what's in that detergent, you know? And even though it was a natural detergent, there's got to be something in the detergent. So I had correlated said, you know, maybe not, right?
Maybe not. It's difficult to appreciate without knowing when what exactly are the complete ingredients in a certain product.
Right.
And as you mentioned before, some others say they're made with natural ingredients, but I would really want to see, when I buy something, I really want to see everything that's included on that list.
Well, Dr. Marcella, can you also share with us about the toxic ingredients in medications?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. The ingredients in what I noticed that some of the medications that I took had the similar ingredients with the products that are included in cosmetics and in the cleaning products. So, and in some foods. So some of them are polyethylene glycols, many, many tablets, many pediatric suspensions, many adult syrups have this kind of component. Many of them have also polysorbate 80 or other types of polysorbate, but in medication mostly I've seen polysorbate 80. Aluminum oxide is also included in some tablets, and parabens. Hydroxypropylmethylcellulose, which is usually deemed as a safe cellulose. And speaking of this, I want to add that many of the capsules, and including medication capsules, but even more in supplements, are made of this synthetic cellulose. And the fact that semi-synthetic doesn't mean that it makes you half as sick. It's just that most of the time on the label it says veggie capsules or vegetable cellulose. So with this in mind, people think, oh, okay, so it's a capsule made of cellulose, so it should be fine. But it's not plain cellulose. It's cellulose reacted with a component that comes from propylene oxide, which is another petroleum derivative.
Yeah. You know, that does make a big difference. You know, there's a lot of times you know, I'm the type, although I'm a naturopath and, you know, supplements is a big part of our, what we try to help people with. It's like for myself, it's no, you know, I'd gotten away from the supplements. I'd gotten away from the tablets. It was like a tincture, you know, or just like adjust your diet and see what's going on in your life. Seem to have so much more emphasis on your health versus always putting something else in, you know. A lot of times, you know, people will be taking even just a multivitamin, you know, and they'll say, oh, man, it just doesn't make me feel good. Or they'll say, well, those tablets, you know, they have them for sale at the store. Why not? And, you know, we look at it and we say that might just not be the best preparation, but maybe what the items you need, you just need to get it in a different way, right?
Yes. And the other concern I have is that the supplements are not FDA regulated as the medication prescription medication is, and even some of the counter medications are a lot tighter regulated compared to the supplements. So people buy supplements thinking that they're going to feel good from using them, and in reality, they probably don't, at least not all the time, because the amounts are included us, and sometimes the consumer lab has this information about certain products which claim that they have a certain amount of the active ingredient and certain other inactive ingredients, but when they do the testing, even the active ingredient is not what it's supposed to be.
Right. How about generics? Do you believe generics have more toxins or less or the same?
Generics have different components than the brand name. Some of them are similar to a certain extent. Some others have more. And it's hard to appreciate which generic is better than the brand and which one of the generics is better than the other. The only way to actually be able to say that is if you look at the list of the inactive ingredients. But, again, that's something that people shouldn't have to do, and it's not an easy thing to do either. So oftentimes when something happens with a medication, most of the time it gets blamed on the active ingredient. And the medical field is well trained to take into account the active ingredients, but with the inactive ones, it's really hard to actually come up with explanations for certain reactions that could be blamed on an inactive ingredient, because most of them are deemed as safe.
Right. You know, and also, too, I think that the idea for people to understand, they say these are generally safe on healthy individuals, but I would probably liken it to say, could you find 100% healthy individuals? That number is getting lower and lower these days. Somebody's got something going on, something is brewing, some system in your body might be slowing down, might be not working. You may be detoxing or not detoxing. You may be maybe building up some byproducts in your body, whatever it might be. it doesn't really matter. But the point is what is perfection and what is health seems almost to be irrelevant these days. However, they're still basing all of their laws and their safety levels on a healthy person. Yes?
Yes. They do this studying of the inactive ingredients of all these chemicals that I talk about in the book, and there are other places where people could find information about them. But most of the studies are based on huge amounts which are not attained in our daily life. And they're looking for an acute fix. For instance, for polyethylene glycols and for other substances, they give a huge amount, and they look, obviously in healthy volunteers, they look for acute sickness. But that doesn't have to be the case. My presumption is that all this added amount in time and from multiple products that you use a few times a day and carry on this component, then the additive effect, it's not something that we can neglect. And it's not that likely that somebody is sick. But if you keep using the same products over and over, then the same ingredients will eventually start to make a difference in some person's health. And that's probably what it was my case. I was healthy. I was energetic. I had no medical problems, no medical history. I was enjoying my life. And all of a sudden, this hit me. And nobody could understand why, and neither did I. And eventually I came to the conclusion that some of these ingredients that are fed to us from the day we are born, actually from the moment before we're born because of our mothers being exposed to many of these, will end up causing a problem of some sort sooner or later.
Right, right. Yeah, it's really, I almost liken it to if we say, okay, playing in the sandbox is not going to hurt children. However, if we say we're going to have first grade, second grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and we say playing in the sandbox is not going to hurt you, and then all of a sudden the 10th graders say, oh, I don't feel so good. The 12th graders say, oh, man, I'm sick. It's almost like a cumulative effect. So in other words, if you're dancing with some of these toxins, it could be one or two, but then all of a sudden they have different byproducts. They have different things that they create. They have different turn on chemical processes in our bodies. So there's a whole other than spider web that's created that gets activated. It's not just A plus B equals C. It could be A plus B over the arrow. There's 100 or other things that will create many other byproducts. And it's really what really goes on in your body. I think the idea of science that what we do know is so minuscule to compared to what we don't know. It really, if you feel pain, if you feel sore, if you feel like you're sick, and you really don't have an idea of what's going on, the answer is do a little bit of experimentation, be able to pay more attention, write things down, look at your life. Are you using 20 and 30 products a day? Simplify your life. You could say, I remember I was healthy, and then this. Find out what that marker was. And I think, you know, today, Dr. Marcel, we've really given people an idea to say it's really about paying attention yourself, because there's not going to be any one person to be able to do this search for you, don't you think?
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And the other thing that I presume people should keep in mind is the fact that the regulations are not that strict. And I don't think we should wait for the regulations to become strict. We shouldn't have a repeat like what happened with the smoking regulations, where for a while everything was so lenient and all of a sudden everything became so strict. But this gap in time was about 30 years or more. So
right.
For people who hear us and think that, oh, everybody's using it, it's okay, it's no solid evidence that it's
right.
A problem with a certain product or a certain ingredient, my theory is think about the smoking regulation. You really don't want to wait till all the strict rules come into effect. You want to be a little proactive and try to avoid something that, if it's enough suspicious, that it may not be healthy.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it's really only a matter of time until you see what's going to change. You know, I even likened it to the other day. I saw an advertisement for petroleum jelly on a television show, and I said, really? I didn't know that that stuff was still around, you know? So I think the idea that what's out there, there's a lot of yes, you do. No, you don't. It's a big deal, but it's really up to ourselves because this is our body that we're carrying around. It's up for us to be responsible for it, yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we have to take a little more charge and figure out what is really healthy, what is not that healthy, and create a balance. Because what happens is sometimes you may not avoid having to drink from a plastic bottle, but
right.
You know, if on a regular basis you don't do that, I think it's fine. Sometime you may be exposed to a certain a smell that may give you a headache, but if it's not on a regular basis, that's great. So it's really up to us to learn what we need to do, what makes us feel better in a way, and what we should avoid in order to continue feeling well.
Well, Dr. Marcello, thank you so much for your, joining us today, because I really think that sometimes people are afraid to step out and they're afraid to say, you know what, this is what happened to me and this is how I've had to figure things out. I know I've shared all the time on the radio, you know, about my experiences, and I think that really that's about helping others to be able to support them, to be able to say it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to be able to look around and see what's different. And I think that, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
And Dr. Marcello, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you and your work? That would be wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. I have created a website for the book mostly, but and it's called MarcellaMagdaPopaMD.com. It doesn't sell any products. It doesn't endorse any products. It's mostly for information purposes only. And after I completed the book, I realized that I came across interesting articles, medical research, and even the certain articles that come in the news daily pertaining certain products, certain health concerns. And I figured if I wanted to say something, it's going to be in my blog. So that's what the site is all about, information. And hopefully people will understand to look out for themselves and be proactive.
Right. Well, Dr. Marcello, thank you so much for joining us. It was a real pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Marcella Popa, again, her book is Keep Away from Grass, generally recognized as safe. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page. It'll go directly to her website. And it really is about asking questions and saying, I was always healthy until I always felt better. But then the answer is, what happened? What changed? What can you do? And how can you figure it out? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.